The Railroad Retirement Board needs help upgrading some legacy systems. That agency has 200 major application systems and about 7 million lines of COBOL. The RRB is asking for $12 million through fiscal 17 to modernize all of its applications, get rid of those legacy systems. Ron Murphy is the Chief Information Officer at the Railroad Retirement Board and here to talk about the results of an industry day that he and his colleagues hosted last week. Ron, it's terrific to have you on the program. Thanks for joining me today. Do you have lessons learned yet? It was just last week, so I imagine that you may just be sorting through all the information that you took in. Thanks for joining me today, Ron.
Yes, that's great. Yes, it is true. We just had the industry day last week, and we're still going through the material. But what I would say is that, you know, it's promising, you know, what we learned from the industry day and what the feedback from the over 100 people, I would say, participated. Yeah, 70 were in Chicago, and the rest were on a web conference. And the results, I would say, look promising in the sense that we still are going on the right path, and there's a lot of interest in the community that want to help us with this transition.
What do you think the most important elements of that transition will be? You're going from a mainframe function, and you're living in a time when agencies are looking at moving to the cloud. Is that too huge a step to take all in one shot, or is maybe the timing fortuitous for you that cloud infrastructures are maturing in the way that they're maturing at the time that you want to do this, Ron?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the technology is maturing. You know, there are two things that I would say, you know, what's really driving us to do this. First is, you know, like you said, there are better technologies out there that can do it faster, better, cheaper, and simpler. And more important, you know, I have an aging workforce. You know, every day my workforce is walking out of the door, and they are taking with them the institution knowledge. You know, these applications that serve our mission have been built like 40-plus years ago when the agency started. You know, so it is back in this mainframe computing days that these applications are built. And over the years, yes, we have made enhancements, but I think the core architecture is still the same. It's primarily batch-oriented processing. And, you know, in today's technology, you know, people push a button and then expect results. So that does not work in the environment that we're in. So I think it's the right strategy. It is a risk, but I think it's a calculated risk, I would say. We have found tools using artificial intelligence that can take us this legacy platform and move it into more of a more modern platform. And then that's what I call it, the phase one. And from there, we'll do this re-engineering into this. I call it cloud ready. We may not be ready to move to the cloud right away, but I think we build applications and services that in the next couple of years, should we go in that direction, my applications and services are ready to go to the cloud infrastructure.
That seems like a logical middle step or middle ground that will allow you to make this transition in pieces rather than trying to do one huge waterfall. Is that where you're headed with that idea, Ron? That's
exactly right, yeah. We are moving away from the traditional SDLC waterfall methodology into more of a, I would say an agile, but more of an iterative methodology, you know, that could we see these increments and see the value quickly. And I think that's our strategy. That so when we are all said and done, it'll be a platform that's more agile, lean, and mean to get us there. But the way we go from this waterfall as DLC into the agile platform is through what I call as essentially it's shrinking that SDLC into like a 90-day iterative process, incremental, value-driven process to get us there.
You kind of anticipated my next question, Ron, which is how do you do, and that's fine, how do you do a kind of, and everybody wants to attach the word agile to everything in government IT transitions right now, but how do you apply that concept to something that is 40-plus years old and which I imagine your agency relies on an ongoing basis? So it's not simply a matter, you certainly can't just turn it off and do a 6 to 12-month transition. This is something that you've got to run simultaneously with whatever your new application development is going to be.
That's true. So it's more of a culture change, and I'm trying to see or minimize the culture shock that we have, going on here. So one thing that's helping me is that, you know, we have existing operations, and I'm not stopping them. We have legacy projects that are multi-year that will continue, and that's what we told in the industry day, that I cannot stop my existing mission. You know, we have several laws in place that have to be implemented and move forward. You know, the and what we're doing is that keep the existing operations going and build this new environment to get us into that agile platform. So essentially what we're saying is that, yes, go through in multiple phases, take these applications, use artificial intelligence-based automation tools. You know, it's humanly impossible to rewrite all this code and do this conversion. So we're going to use artificial intelligence-based automation tools to take our legacy code and move it into this so-called new platform. We are standardizing on the Microsoft platform, so that's, I think, we're keeping that as a standard. And in that process, you know, it also helps me in another way. Because these applications were built so long ago, and we have been maintaining or patching, I should say, over the several years, I don't think I can rely on my documentation that I have, the artifacts that I have. So I'm looking at the process that as we do this code, as we understand this code through automation, it also dynamically generates this documentation and all this code tracing and maps that kind of give me where all the dead code is, which are all the applications that are used or not used, as well as, you know, tie those again with the business processes that our users are going through. And by the way, we did an assessment a couple of months ago that's kind of helping me go in this direction. So we're going to go through the automation, look at the code, and tie it with the business process that our users use to get us there. So in other words, yes, we keep the existing operations going, and I build this platform and ensure that there are zero data defects and all our business rules are transferred gradually over the multiple phases. So in a way, yes, it's a risk mitigation. It also gives confidence to this agency that this transformation will work. And there'll be checks. You know, I'm not going to wait a year to see that if I'm on the wrong path. You know, every month or 30 days, we'll see and gauge, are we going the right direction? What course corrections we need to make? Because it's and that's what that agile methodology is, you know, that it is that collaboration between my business folks and the IT folks to make sure that we are getting into the right path and producing the right results.
Ram, I see that you have about 4,200 custom software programs currently. Mm-hmm. In this transition, do you see the potential to consolidate those? And if so, how? And do you also see the potential to maybe transition to something COTS, some of those being COTS components at some point?
And exactly, and that is our strategy too. I think, you know, back in the old days when these were written, these monolithic procedural-based programs did everything. In other words, you know, the checks that we send out to our customers, which are the claimants and annuitants, to the letters, to the all the other processes that we ensure that the benefits are paid timely and so on, that's all code. If I step back and look at it, you know, we have the core business rules, you know, how we calculate the benefits and pay them. Yes, that is unique to the Railroad Retirement Board, and that's what we do. But if I take that out, the document management, the customer contacts, how do you print and mail letters, you know, that's all. There are others who could do it better, faster, cheaper. And that's what we want to do as a COTS tools. That, you know, could we, if we looked at these 4,200 unique processes, and when I actually see, I don't think I have more than, my guess is that there are probably 20 business processes that get our mission going. So I think we want to take all of these and move into these 20 or so business processes that these, you know, 7 million lines of code and 200 applications get there. So in other words, if I take out the document management, the customer contact management, the day-to-day, how do we do case management? If I take this out and use the shared services and then just apply the unique business rules that RRB needs to do the benefit calculations, I think we can achieve and get there. And that is the strategy, that as we do this reengineering, as we do this transformation, we want to get to that platform so that it makes it easier to get into the shared services model.
Ram, we've discussed the industry day that you had last Thursday. What's the next step after this, now that you've got this information that that was submitted to you, and what does your timeline look like moving forward?
So the timeline is still the same. I think by the end of this fiscal year, we want to make a contract award, so that's the target we are shooting for. We have a draft RFP in place. We're looking at what we have and then looking at the feedback that we collected on the industry day, and I believe either today or tomorrow, sometime this week, is the last day for someone to submit written responses to the draft RFP that's posted. So we're going to collect all of these, and within 2 weeks, we're going to publish that RFP for people to bid. So from then, the acquisition timeline, acquisition management timeline starts for us to make an award by the end of the fiscal year or before the fiscal year ends.
Rama, I appreciate your insight and congratulations on wrapping up this industry day, and I appreciate you being on with me today.
Thank you, Francis.